Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together this evening in your presence. Oh Lord, we thank you for gathering us from far and wide. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are here with us and you are
Thank you,
also
Lord.
in us. Holy Spirit, we submit ourselves under your leadership and under your
Yes, Lord.
guidance. And oh God, as we go into your word and as we, look at different things, oh God, we ask that whatever it is we discuss will be reinforced within our spirits, within our hearts, that it will resonate in the hearts and the minds of everyone who's watching or who's listening. And that, many weeks, many months after this Bible study, that the lessons we've learned, we will be practicing. We won't have forgotten them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Once again, thank you for joining us, your families online, wherever you are watching from. And if you don't mind, tell us where you're joining us from tonight. And if tonight is also the first time you will be, or you just stumbled on this live broadcast, we will love to hear from you. You can put it in the comments. Right, Dr. Uche,
Sir.
prospering under, sorry, after lockdown. That is our topic tonight. And there is a man that we have been privileged to read the historical account of how his dealings with God, his walk with God, and then the first family that we can actually see went through a lockdown. I mean, complete lockdown. They couldn't go out to go get no essential commodities. They couldn't go out, whether they were key workers, whether his wife or his sons or their wives. They were locked down inside a mighty vessel known as an ark for approximately 1 year and 2 months. We see that story in Genesis chapter 8. And I want to read from Genesis chapter 8 and from verse 13. What are the things we can learn from this man? Now, this was coming out of the lockdown from verse 13. Imagine, can you remember Dr. Uche? Who were his companions under lockdown inside that ark? Before I read the scripture, can you just let's recount.
Yeah, so it was basically his wife, his three sons, their wives, and basically all the animals, male and female.
Right inside an ark for a whole 1 year. I want our imaginations to really flow tonight. Imagine you are inside a massive ship. By the way, I went to pick my wife yesterday, and one massive ship docked just by the our docks here in Liverpool. Massive ship. I've forgotten what the name was, and I'm telling you, that ship just reminds me of that Noah's Ark. You know, Noah's Ark was 750 feet, I think, long. It was 440 feet, I think, high, and 350 feet wide. I'm not sure about that, but I know it was 750, 450, and 350 feet. It was that long, 750 feet. In terms of the height, I think it was about 450, 450 feet high. And then 350 feet wide. They were locked inside with animals, all manner of animals, the male, the female, 1 year, 2 months. So, verse 13 of Genesis chapter 8, if everyone can read along with us, thank you for joining. Please pass your comments. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible declares, and I read, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So, verse 18, Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. And every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Dr. Uche, you are a medical doctor. And I'm sure you deal with patients that suffer things like trauma, and of course, patients that are also dealing with post-traumatic disorders. Post-trauma, after a trauma, some disorders happen. I'm a layman, so please correct me and don't mind my layman's language. We have many lay people online anyway. I'm not the only one. So, Dr. Uche, let's look at Noah's losses, okay? That's not really our focus, but we have to recognize where this man was coming from. Let's look at his losses, Dr. Uche. What do you think had just happened to Noah for the past 1 year, 2 months, locked down, stuck with his family, with all animals, and they couldn't move? And mind you, Noah had just lost friends, family, relatives, in-laws, because his sons had wives, and the wives didn't drop down from the sky. They must have had families, father, mother. And by the way, Noah himself had brothers. He had brothers. He had family. Noah, prior to this time too, must have been involved in some business. Now, he loses all this and then goes under lockdown. So, let's look at his losses. What would you think a Noah will be going on? Because we read these stories and we can forget our humanity and just read the story and not get into the spirit of this. Can you describe, you know, if Noah comes to you, what are the signs, what are the things you think this guy has suffered?
Okay, so like you rightly said, you know, when I think about the story and just the way you've, you know, painted that picture, and I'm sure everyone who's listening or watching, you know, can sort of like start imagining that sort of picture. It's traumatic. You know, it's very easy for us to just sit here and spiritualize things and, you know, use all kinds of scriptures. You know, Noah didn't have the benefit of the New Testament, for instance. He didn't have all those plenty scriptures that we quote and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Darkness may last for a night, or sorrow may last for a night, and joy comes in. He didn't have all that, you know? He was basically alone. The Bible doesn't tell us so much about his relationship with his wife, but, I mean, to stay in an ark like you've described for that length of time, and to have basically just mostly animals, you know, all around you, it's quite traumatic. And like you said, lost family, lost businesses. And one important thing, you know, when I think about it, is the fact that there was a lot of uncertainty. You know, when we read the story now, we know how long it lasted and when he eventually came out. But at the time he was in the ark, I don't think he knew, because when he was sending out the raven and then sending out the dove, he was doing it to find out so what's going on out there. You know, during the COVID period, we've had regular updates from the government. We've had internet to keep abreast. We know the mortality rates all over the world. We have an idea of when the R rate is falling, infectivity rate is falling. But no one did have any of all that, you know? So there was that uncertainty. There were the physical losses. You can imagine the kind of thoughts that were going through his mind, you know, in terms of what happens next. You know, what happens when we come out of here, if we come out of here, you know, when we come out of here, how are we going to repopulate the whole earth? Lost business opportunities. You know, I'm not sure what his profession was before he went in. I'm sure he must have been wondering, let's assume he was a carpenter or something, since he was able to build an ark. You know, you're probably be wondering, so what am I going to do with my skills? You know, who am I going to sell whatever furniture I make? You know, so all these kind of thoughts, I feel, you know, contribute a lot of trauma. And on a day-to-day basis, when we see people, if I saw one today, you know, a patient with post-traumatic stress, a lady who had gone through domestic violence, you know, and was actually asking for the government to change her house, because every time she's in the house, she goes to a room and, you know, she just starts having flashbacks. She's having nightmares. You know, she's depressed. She's always anxious. She really can't go out. You know, so those are the things you see. You see emotional numbing. You see irrational emotional responses. And for some of us, you know, haven't come out of that period of lockdown. I don't know, maybe some of us can relate with that. The fact that maybe we've become maybe a bit irritable, you know, of marriages that broke down during the lockdown, and so on and so forth. So there is definitely a lot of trauma involved. And I pray that, you know, as we continue this discussion, that the Holy Spirit can just begin to minister healing to those who need it.
Thank you for that, Dr. Uche. A lot of uncertainties. You know, as you were talking, truly, in our time, we have the privilege of getting updates, regular updates, knowing what was happening, mortality, this, okay, the cases are rising, the cases are falling. No one never had that privilege. And think about it, he was surrounded by death. I can imagine the noise of the flood daily. Think about it also, sir, the cries of the people who are dying. Dying, you know, probably trying to, you know, step into the ark. But according to the scriptures, that ark was shut. In fact, the Bible says God shut the door. So the ark itself was so watertight, floated, the same flood that floated the ark of Noah destroyed the entire earth. So let's now look at a Noah stepping out of the ark with all potential of a post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, those listening and watching online, please can you contribute? You know, what are the things you think a Noah stuck in that ark with family and animals could probably have suffered? Please, let's see your comments. You can go on the Facebook Live, put your comments. You know, somebody said anxiety. His anxiety levels must have risen up. Imagine, I'm even wondering, was it dark inside that ark? Was there some means of lighting? You know, even no matter what light they had inside there, they never really probably knew when it was night or when it was day. They were just there because they couldn't open the window. They were shut in. So even if you have permanent electricity and lights for 1 year, 2 months, just staring, you would lose track of time. You wouldn't know day. When is the day? When is the night? When is the day? When is the night? You know, like you said, what happens thereafter? And God did not tell him when it was going to end. Like you rightly said, He had to send the dove, send the raven, kind of test to know. God didn't tell him until we read that Genesis chapter 8. Please, people, I don't know if you want to add anything. While I look at the comments, people said, somebody said, boredom. Because I've been bored. Yeah. Do you want to add to that before we look at how to prosper and some things we need to really look at?
When I think about it, one of my colleagues at work is a farmer, but he has lots of animals on his farm. He tells me that his animals keep him more busy than his clinical work as a doctor.
Wow.
So I feel like I'm sure within that year and 2 months that, Noah became an expert. He became basically like a vet. Like a vet doctor dealing with vet issues. I can just imagine what it must have been like. Every day they would wake him up and be like, "Ah, Noah, the snake and the goat are fighting. the lion and they are dragging, that kind of thing." So I'm sure at some point he must have, it would have probably been interesting in a way, it says that there was a variety of animals, you can imagine what it means, what it looks like, working in the zoo. Those of us that have visited zoos, there's just a lot of attraction. But after a while, it gets a bit monotonous, and then you're wondering, well, is this what my whole life is going to consist of? And it's probably very easy for him to just project based on that into the future, because there was nothing out there waiting for him. It was everything that was in the ark that was going to come out. So he must probably have been wondering, like, okay, so this is basically going to be the rest of my life. I'm just going to be dealing with all these animals and things. So, yeah, quite some anxiety, depression, and so on. Yes.
Thank you for your contributions. Thank you, Dibs. Ade probably suffered depression and anxiety. Yes, Josephine. Thank you. Fear and worry. If God had forgotten about them. That's interesting, because Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And God remembered Noah." That's a deep word. God remembered Noah. So we don't know for that 1 year and over a year, what was he having a communion with God? Of course, before the ark, he walked with God. The Bible says he walked with God. So he probably knew how to commune with God. But excuse me, you can't be locked down in one spot, one place, one enclosure. Look at what the lockdown did to even the strongest of us Christians. Some people were literally losing their minds. I'm telling you, there was just that, "Lord, what's going on?" There was just questions. There was, fear. It was palpable. You could literally cut through the fear. Even if you stepped out, you will feel it in the air. Now imagine, we could step out once in a while. Here in the UK, Boris allowed us to take 1 hour. They even rationed the exercise. You could take, and you couldn't even take it with your whole family. You had to separate. It must have been doom, gloom. There must have been lots of issues going on right there. And I like what you said. You probably will settle quarrel between the snake and the pig and the chimpanzee and the baboon. Thank you, Onome. What a job to feed all of those animals. Talking about feeding all the animals, I was just imagining. You said something that a colleague of yours talked about, who had animals to look after. Do you know Noah had no prior vet experience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was at the point he was going into the ark that God just told me, "Go get the animals." And when you even read it, it was as if supernaturally God made those animals to come to him. When we read that story. So it was a new experience, the anxiety, the uncertainty. He had to learn new skills, veterinary skills, perhaps, looking and, sir, we should just probably thank God, because it's not recorded, but there's the tendency of sickness while they were inside that ark, of falling sick. Lack of sunlight, sir, what does that do?
Vitamin D. Lack of vitamin D. So I'm sure God must have provided them. So when you're deprived of sunlight, you start losing your vitamin D because the sunlight is the best source of it. And then you start having things like tiredness, weakness in your bones, fatigue, those sort of things.
A lack of vitamin D. So what will have been the supplement?
Well, I'm sure God must have supernaturally provided it from there. Well, you can also get it from some, you know, eggs, dairy, vegetables, and things like that.
That's right. Because let's remember that God told him to take food into the ark. So he must have gone in there with some vegetables, cereals, fruits. But then all these things couldn't probably also, we don't know, did he even grow a garden within that ark? You know, how would the garden even survive? Would he have planted anything? But what I read is that God told him to take food that is sufficient. And God never told him how much food he should take. So there's so many things to stir up our imagination here. You know, some more comments here. Okay, somebody said you are the most hilarious doctor out there. All right, then. We can laugh over Noah now. I can see one lovely lady here called Wuraola Olavi. She says, family quarrels. Forced to stay together. Can I be vulnerable on air? We sense that will happen in my family. Let me share this. You know what we did? Because, sincerely speaking, lockdown. You know, everybody, before the lockdown, we had places to go. In fact, we all go out in the morning and congregate back at night. We had church services to go. That wasn't there 24/7 while lockdown in the house. So there's the tendency to step on each other's toes. Statistics showed that there were more domestic violence.
Absolutely.
During the lockdown. So family quarrels. How did Noah and his family learn to live together? Talk less of even living now with animals. Some of these animals were wild animals, excuse me, you know. But thank God we didn't hear of the lion coming to tear Noah to, you know. Did they have to put them in cages? I mean, there's a lot to think about. So family quarrels, forced to stay together. So during the lockdown, what we did in my family, we divided the house. We divided the house, you know. So, for example, my portion was the living room. So, of course, the living room had to turn into the studio to do the live broadcast for every service weekly, the Thursday meetings and the Sunday services. And, you know, our last son, Joshua, he took the kitchen because he thrives in the kitchen. He made lots of delicious dishes. He combined, he conjured, he did most things. And Noah, you know, busy with his media online, he discovered he could do things. So he took the room. He took their room. My wife took our bedroom. So we gave everybody space. You know, we only come together when we want to have a family time. So that was a way of surviving, doing. But, you know, thank God we didn't have snakes and chimpanzees and giraffes, you know, living in the house with us and rodents. You know, the funny thing during that lockdown, they found out that wild animals were coming into town. You know,
yeah.
You know, so reading more quarrels, good versus snake, March 2020. Oh my God, somebody here. Okay, probably suffered sleeping issues. You know, family, their sleeping pattern must have been affected due to the boredom and, of course, not knowing whether it's day or not knowing it's night. Okay. People are just being funny here. Come on, Daddy AY. It's a WrestleMania. Yeah, what's WrestleMania? You know, God is the best teacher and equipped him. Thank you. You know, and somebody said, so let's see the kind of things Noah must have learned inside that also. Said, how to learn patience, long suffering, how to really live and dwell together. So more comments. Somebody also put that. Thank you. Creativity in coming up with new meals. I can tell you our Joshua learned that under lockdown. Okay? And somebody said here, all the food is organic that they took inside the ark and full of vital nutrients. You can't beat dog, okay? Somebody also said Groundhog Day, every day being the same. Okay, thank you for all the comments. Thank you. We are looking at so many things that could have gone, they had to battle with while they're in the art. So tonight, what's our topic? Prospering after the lockdown. So let's look at post-lockdown. And that will bring us to verse 20. Dr. Uche, the first thing Noah did, verse 20, Genesis 8, he built an altar to the Lord. Took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Bible says, and God smelled a soothing aroma. And then God did something profound. God reversed the curse that was on the ground in the time of Adam as a result of Adam's disobedience in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3 that we see. But God also acknowledges something. There will always be evil, because the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And he says he will not destroy. What do you have to say post-lockdown? We're talking about prospering after lockdown. Is there something we can glean from Noah there? Before we take some questions are coming on Slido. Please, you have comments or you want to put questions on Slido.do, the hashtag again is Love Slido. So you can put your questions and we'll take them shortly. And your comments, Love Slido, hashtag Love Slido. Dr. Uche.
Okay, so well, just to say a few things. I mean, when I read verse 20, when it says that Noah built an altar to the Lord, I mean, it doesn't say that God instructed him to build that altar. Because prior to this time, all we had been hearing was God commanded Noah, God instructed Noah, God told Noah, do this, do that, this happened, you know? But at this stage, we're not, I mean, yeah, God had told Noah to leave the boat and all that, but he never said anything about, you know, building an altar. So I feel like at least those first initial steps, you know, that Noah took coming out of the altar, out of the ark, I think it moved the heart of God. You know, I mean, of course, God knows our hearts. He knows the future. He knows what we'll all do and everything, but he allows us to prove ourselves to him. You know, because I was thinking about it, I was like, why didn't God make the flood stop or the waters dry up as quickly as he made them start? You know, he could have done that. You know, I felt like one of the reasons why it became so prolonged and elongated was to reveal to Noah and his family the state of their hearts. You know, that even though, yes, you're blameless, even though you are righteous, even though I chose you out of the earth to come into the ark, I want to show you who you are. So maybe, like we've been saying, in the course of the time he was in the ark, he saw that, oh God, I need your help with patience. I need your help with controlling my anger. I need your help with, you know, forgiving my wife, you know, forgiving. I need your help with wisdom, you know, being able to manage such a wide variety of animals, and so on and so forth. So I feel like within that time, you know, Noah just came to realize how dependent he was on God. And as soon as he came out of the ark, he was like, the first thing I need to do. Because, I mean, you know, God had already said in verse 17, so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. So, I mean, that implies, you know, for, you know, some might just listen to that and say that, okay, well, I mean, God is telling us to leave the ark and we're going to be fruitful and we're going to multiply. And they could just decide to just go off based on that and just say that after all, God has given his word. I have no choice but to be fruitful and multiply. I already have God's blessing, etc., etc. But in doing this, building this altar, I felt he was basically saying that, yes, God, even though you have said that we should be fruitful and multiply, we cannot do it by ourselves. We will not be able to, you know, fulfill this word that you've given without offering or rendering all of ourselves, you know, to you. So I feel like that was just a demonstration. I think it's also very instructive for us as we come out of the lockdown period. You know, what have we learned throughout this period? What has God shown us about ourselves? You know, have we decided to rely more on him, to be dependent on him, and to just offer this new heart that he has created within us? Have we decided to just, you know, render it to him? So yeah, those are the thoughts that come to mind.
Wow. One of the things that trials, tribulations, problems actually does is to reveal the state of our hearts to us, really. If we focus on problems, oh, why is this happening to me? Why? No. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe, when God took the children of Israel, he said he took them, you know, allowed them to suffer in the wilderness for 40 years. He said it's to show you the state of your heart. Let you see what is in your heart. And like you rightly said, we can see and draw from this for Noah to have stepped out. And first thing, God didn't command him, God didn't instruct him, for him to have come out and build an altar. And building an altar, people, has to do with, you know what? It's a place of communion that, you know, God, I need you. It's like you come out, you pray. You know, when you're under pressure, when you sin hell and back, and you realize your emptiness, you realize how weak and how helpless you are without God, it makes you to really depend more on God. It shows you the state of your heart. And we can see here, you know, next week we are going to look, we're looking at some things today, and hopefully next week we should have you back. We are going to look at that, the things afterwards, to learn some things on prospering after lockdown. But it's a good place tonight to see first, the first thing we need here is God. A lot of people during the lockdown started seeing their weaknesses and the need. Statistics show that many people joined online church meetings, were seeking for prayer meetings online because of the lockdown. We've come out now. Things are easing. Don't make the mistake we're going to look at next week that we begin to see Noah make if we want to prosper after lockdown. All right, Dr. Uche, let's look at the questions.
Okay.
We have some questions. The first question that came here says that what does it mean to prosper? It seems I must have to be popular or make money before people in church will say I have prospered. Now, let me look at that question, and I don't know if you have any comments on that. You know, the first question the person is asking, good one. Because if we don't understand what it actually means, what prosper means, we will get our own definition and run off with that definition and use that definition as a parameter, as a yardstick to measure what prosperity is. I did a study once from the Bible, and let us look at Psalm 1. Psalm number 1, the first book of Psalms. You know, the Bible talks about a man who is blessed.
Yes.
And it says, blessed is the man, look at it, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but, verse 2, Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be, look at it, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in a season, whose leaf shall not wither. Look at this now. Don't miss this, people. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Verse 1, the guy is blessed. You know our definition of blessed now? Oh, I got a new car. I got a new house. I got a new wife. I got a new husband. Oh, wow, you need to see my wedding. We threw flowers. We decorated. People danced. You know, sir, let us look at the Bible definition of what it means to be blessed and what it means to prosper. You are blessed. A blessed man is one who does not walk in ungodly counsel. Please, let's look at the New King James Version, because at times, you know, the walk it, stand it, make it, think it, and all that makes people, you know, or we can read another simpler version. One, you don't walk in ungodly counsel. Two, you're not found in the pathway of sinners, where people say, what is sin? Transgression against the law of God. Sin also is defined as anything that's not of faith. What that means, faith comes by hearing. So what God says, and you do what God says. If you don't hear and do what God says, you're not acting in faith. So that's sin, simply put. And it says the third thing, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. People who scorn us, people who mock anything that is God, anything that is, you know, good, they make a mockery of it. He says that man is blessed. Now, how does he prosper? He delights in anything God says. The law, principles of God, the statutes of God. And it says what? He meditates on them day and night. What is he likened to? A tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit. Let's note this, in its season. Because it's not every season that a tree brings fruit. There will be seasons where the tree will not bring fruit. And when we look at our lives, there are seasons like that. It looks like we're not fruitful. It doesn't mean that we're not blessed. It's just the season. So we bring forth fruit, not out of season, but in its season. Leaf does not wither. And look at it. The key there is whatever he does. Whatever he does. So there is the doing part that brings prosperity. Where I'm going, sir, the definition of prosperity, to prosper means to go forward, to make progress, to advance in a godly way. So I buy a car, I marry new wives, I buy a shoe. That is not the biblical blessing. Do you know one thing, sir? Joseph was thrown in prison. The Bible says that God prospered Joseph in prison. He prospered. He wasn't buying new houses in prison. No, he was a man who was walking in godly counsel, who was never finding the path of sin, who was always delighting in the law of God. And right there in prison, he was bringing the counsel of God to the people he met in the prison. So let's define that from the question of the person. So don't say, I must be popular or make money before people, even in church, will say I prospered. Forget that, okay? That is not a godly way of prosperity. So we need to clear that so that the person, forget about even what people in church, in quotes. You know, I wonder if anybody in church has that kind of mindset. That's not the mind of God. Do you want to say something about that before I run to the next one?
You've really explained it very well. Just to reinforce what you've said, prosperity, the way I see it, is almost kind of like a neutral term. You know, it has a scriptural, Bible-based, God-given definition, and then it has sort of like a secular definition. Unfortunately, what we're seeing and what has been happening is that the secular definition of prosperity, in terms of all those things you've said, you know, buying this, having this, you know, looking like you've made it in quotes, you know, has now been brought into the church and given as the God-given definition of prosperity, and that's not correct. Prosperity for me, simply, you know, if I were to even just make it a very simple, it's just doing the will of God, you know, because when you do the will of God, then you are prospering. You are prospering in every way, whether people can see it or can't see it. You are, in fact, when God sees you, you're doing his will, you're prospering. That is it. That for me is not the simplest way. So anybody wondering, okay, well, I don't seem to be making it, you know, I'm not really getting ahead in life, you know, people are looking at me, I'm not, the question the person should be asking the person himself or herself is, am I in the will of God? The things that God has been telling me, am I doing them? Is my life, you know, aligned with God's will? In answering that question, every other prosperity related question honestly to be answered.
You know, doing whatever he does, we see that someone, he prospers. What's he doing? The will of God. You know, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 also comes to mind. This book of the law shall not depart from your if we can bring that up, please. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Because this issue of prosperity, Dr. Uche, is a big issue, you know, even within church circles. We have to understand that we brought nothing into this world and we will take nothing. What we are going to be judged at the end of the day is not how many houses we built, how many people we fed, because you can feed people without having love in your heart. We see that in 1 Corinthians 13. It's, did you do the will of God? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe, that's it again, to do according to all that is written in it. For then, look at it now, you will make your way prosperous, and what? You will have good success. Amazing. All right. Somebody put a quote, 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. So somebody's saying, is that the definition of prosper? That's also part of it. Our souls prospers when our souls delight in the law of God.
In the law of God.
Yeah. And having the word of God in us is like medicine, the Bible says, even to our flesh. So we prosper, we're in health. Imagine you have everything, but you're not in health. You know, one of the tragedies I've seen, Dr. Uche, is families. You see the man is wealthy, you see the woman is wealthy, they have everything. They have, you know, what you would call the basic parameters that people judge that, oh, wow, this is a good family. They have a house, they have cars, they have children. Sir, I have seen beautiful houses. But inside those beautiful houses, wealthy man, in terms of riches, physical riches, they can afford anything. They don't have a home. No home. They're not happy. They're fighting. You know, it's just sad. It's high time we get what it means to prosper. Thank you very much for that, Dr. Uche. His vow to his wife, till death do them part, will be by force. I think that's a comment from Noah. When they were in the ark, he would learn to live by that vow. You know, my very good friend Reverend Song said something that while they were inside the ark and there were 8 souls there, you know, Noah's wife, the 3 sons and their wives, that even if you got angry and say, yeah, I'm out. Let's see you jump out of the ark. Into the flood, straight into the water. You learn to live. You learn to live with one another. You learn it. Oh, yes. Okay. The Bible said God did it lastly. It's been really, really hard, but he did it. To him be all the glory. I guess that's someone sharing a testimony. Thank you, everybody. Is there anything on Facebook comments that we have omitted? Thank you. You have joined us. Lovely, everyone. Thank you. Yeah, he learned to, of course, he learned to be creative. Somebody said Noah had a heart transplant in the ark. We will look at that next week. Did he really have a heart transplant? What happened? Okay. And somebody sadly with a sad emoji said, I think he may have increased his alcohol intake. I can guess why the press is. We'll look at that next week because we're going to jump into Genesis 9. Okay. All right. I think he may have increased his alcohol intake. You know, there's so many things when you're stressed, when you're bored, when you're suffering depression, you can start, taking things you don't want to take. Yeah. Because don't forget that taking plants in the earth, taking fruits, after a while the fruits will rot, they ferment. And what do you get from that, sir?
Alcohol.
You get alcohol. We'll look at all this next week. Okay. Let's just see if there's any other comments. Thank you, everybody. Wonderful, wonderful. I can see people watching from all over the place. We've come to the end tonight. Dr. Uche, any final word? I hope you will be with us again next week.
By God's grace.
Yeah, let's journey together, and we will look at the latter end of Genesis 8. God actually gives, what I call some nuggets, some principles of how to prosper. We will see that in that same Genesis 8:22, the latter verse. But then next week, let's learn, post-lockdown, how did Noah fare and his family? Dr. Uche, thank you for tonight. Any final word?
Just to encourage us, really, especially everyone who's participating on this Bible study, for us to see ourselves in the lives of Noah, but to see ourselves in the sense that, we can rewrite our story, in the sense that if we were the ones that were in these passages that we're reading, so if it was Uche instead of Noah, if it was James, Inkem, Ayo, what would we be reading now, in terms of your life? Because we then now have a chance, to almost kind of rewrite or write our story, our own Genesis 8 and 9. So as we're emerging from this lockdown, let's be very sensitive to how the Holy Spirit wants us to proceed. When we talk about maybe the mistakes that Noah made, we shouldn't just leave it at that. We should see ourselves in that story. Are we currently making those mistakes? Is the Holy Spirit, the new heart that we have received, are we growing, which is our theme for this month, are we growing in the newness of that heart that we've received? So we keep meditating on these things, keep thinking about it, just like we've just read, this is how we'll actually prosper after the lockdown. It's not any fantastic laws or rules. We've been seeing lots of blogs, lots of social scientists, lots of activists, people bringing out all sorts of things and saying that this is the way to go. This is how you emerge from the lockdown. This is the new normal. This is what you need to start doing. This is how you need to start running your family. This is how you start educating your kids and so on. So the world has their own version of things. But as we look into this study and as we trust the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, let's be open to how God wants us to emerge, from this lockdown. Amen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Uche. And the final word from me is where we'll kick off next week. You don't want to miss it. Same time, 7 p.m. UK time, Love Assembly, Liverpool, Facebook Live, live streaming to you wherever you are. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. A principle that if you and I put to use, we will prosper this after the lockdown. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the media can bring that up. Remember the first thing? Noah steps out and dedicates his whole life to God. We will look at that also, but Genesis 8, 22, God gives a lifeline, a principle. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That is deep. Join us next week as we break this down. But remember, if you want harvest, seed time. For whatever you sow is what you will reap. God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Uche. And we pray tonight, may your hearts receive what God has said, be transformed, renewed, and the things you've learned tonight, this, we would like to hear your feedback, but I pray in the name of Jesus, go and do, and whatever you do in line with the will of God, prosper in the name of Jesus. God bless you, and good night.